app, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Biden heads to Detroit tomorrow to meet with striking auto workers. And as WWJ-TV's Alicia Bergio reports,
as day 11 of the United Auto Workers strike against the Big Three continues to gain momentum, still no sign of either side willing to make a deal. And outside the Stellantis parts distribution plant here in Warren, auto workers are not afraid to have their voices heard.
Former President Trump will skip a GOP presidential debate on Wednesday to also travel to meet with auto workers in Detroit. Striking Hollywood writers have reached a tentative new contract with the big studios. KCBS-TV's Jeff Nguyen reports.
I very much trust our guild.
Sharla and James Oliver are married Writers Guild members who also work as a team, which means they're not necessarily a dual-income family.
We're paid as an individual as writing as a team.
They're anxious to get back to work after the WGA and the major studios and streamers reached a tentative three-year deal Sunday night.
Just in, SAG-AFTRA members have approved a video game strike authorization vote. The union says that the vote was just over 98% in favor of walking out. This comes as actors covered under the same union are still on strike. Time is running out to avoid a government shutdown. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is facing an uphill battle with his fellow Republicans, while President Biden says the GOP should deliver on its budget deal. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
The White House is calling this a Republican shutdown and warns that without a solution, at least 4 million federal workers won't get paid. Food safety inspections could be delayed and cancer research could be stalled. President Biden said the cuts would disproportionately impact the black community and put food assistance to 7 million women and children at risk.
Former President Trump urges congressional Republicans to shut down the government if they don't get everything they want. A nationwide shortage of rest stop space for large trucks results in many drivers parking on the sides of off-ramps, sometimes with deadly consequences. CBS's Chris Van Cleve with more.
The Department of Transportation is providing grants to expand truck parking in several states, while a bill giving states an additional $755 million to expand existing truck parking languishes.
Four-day school schedules are becoming more common around the country. CBS's Wendy Gillette reports.
Nearly 900 have signed on out of more than 13,000 districts nationwide, up from around 660 4 years ago. Districts say it saves money and allows for easier recruitment of teachers. But some parents with traditional five-day work weeks complain it's difficult to manage child care.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
...of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have Juliet Rudy on the line here, and she's the director of the Minnesota Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office, and we have kind of an update that we'd love to talk to her about real quick. I know she's really busy up there in Bemidji. Juliet, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, good to talk to you. And thank you so much for coming on. I know you're busy up in Bemidji. I was wondering if you could tell our audience what's going on up there.
Well, what we did was we coordinated and collaborated a search with Bemidji Police Department and then other law enforcement agencies, tribal, state, and federal agencies. And today was the first day of the search. We started this morning at about 8:30. We had a briefing, and volunteers came, and they registered, signed up, checked out equipment. And then they were given like a PowerPoint briefing, and then they were assigned to a team lead, which were law enforcement officers. And then before they went out, though, we had nine canine teams that went out to begin the search for Nevaeh. And so throughout the day, they spent the first couple of hours out there. Then they broke for lunch at 12:30. They went back again, and now those teams should be all returned by now between 4:30 and 5, and then they'll take a dinner break. And then we'll be back at it again tomorrow.
I just got to give you a big shout out. Nevaeh was 15 years old when she was missing in October 2021. And I mean, parents need to know what has happened to their children. And I just want to give you a big shout out to people up there helping, whether it's the Bemidji Police Department or the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office. I just want to say thank you so much for doing this. It's so important, and to keep a spotlight on our young ones and our missing ones.
Thank you for that, because we really need to hear that. It's been, this office has been in existence for about a year and a half. And the first year I was out in the community listening to concerns that they had about our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. And And if you go back and you look at that Wilder report, that the Missing and Murdered Women's Task Force put together in 2019 to 2020, and you hear about the concerns that the Indigenous community had about response, reporting response and victim services for our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, we hear those stories every day. When we're visiting our relatives out on the tribal nations in the urban Native communities, we hear them stories every day about what was reported in that research that Wilder did with the MMIW task force in the report. So being able to help have an impact or make a difference for Indigenous people in Minnesota. My team and I, we have a passion for it. And, you know, three of us come from tribal nations. One of us is Filipino and Jewish, and she's very proud of it, and we're very proud of having her on our team representing and making a difference and having an impact on MMIR.
You know, I'm looking at the list of people that are helping up there, called the Rescue Ministries, Central Lake and Research, and of course, Leech Lake Tribal Police, Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. What can our listeners, and we have listeners all over Turtle Island, what can they do to support your work and get the word out? I know we have people, keyboard warriors that share this out, but it's also important for them to do other things. And what's a good thing that our listeners could do to support you, a kind of a call to action?
Can you repeat the question? It was kind of a long question, and I'm trying to figure out how to best answer it. So what can they do to support us?
What can our listeners do to support your work and what's going on up in Bemidji, or just support your work in general?
We'll become educated on why we have missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. Look at issues surrounding human trafficking, and then also the risk factors. I mean, with substance abuse. Also the child welfare system. And then there's also, we have the historical trauma that comes from the boarding schools and, all those different areas, because MMIR is it's a holistic. We have to have a holistic approach to it, and our community has to help us make a difference. You know, it's not just law enforcement. It's our communities together that will have an impact on MMIR. So learning about what the issues are of MMIR is super important. And that's kind of what our office does too. We give presentations, and there's only four of us, but we're doing the best we can to get out in the community, to educate the community about MMIR.
I'm with Juliet Rudy, a director of Minnesota Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives, the office, and we're just really pumped here, especially on Native Roots Radio and our listeners, that we have such an office, first of its kind across the country, and you're small but mighty. This is a huge thing, and you're up in Bemidji, and I just want to remind my audience that's just jumping on and listening, is that we're having a search for a Nevaeh Kingbird who's been missing for nearly 2 years. And it's really, I just again have to commend you and your organization and the state for and the legislators for funding this very important office in the, and I'm really you know, it's an emotional time that we have this kind of representation, but it's also kind of disheartening, too, when we see the news. And if this child might have had blonde hair and blue eyes, it'd be on the news every day. So I commend you and for doing this. This is just a huge, huge thing, and I appreciate you coming on. Any last words before we let you go?
Well, thank you. I'd just like to thank everybody that came up to help. Senator Kunish came and visited and was able to get out into the field and see how we were working on the search. There's just been a lot of support. I mean, we have to thank Lieutenant Governor Flanagan and Governor Walz for signing the bill so that we could have this office, and thanking the tribal nations and the urban native community for supporting us. So it's just an honor to be able to work to have an impact on MMIR in Minnesota.
Yes, healing prayers for you. I know this is tough work, and thank you so much for stopping in. And we'll be getting updates from you every once in a while. We really appreciate you stopping in.
All right, be done, yeah.
Oh, that was Juliet Rudy, Director of Minnesota Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office here in the Minnesota. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
From chasing fall colors on a scenic road trip to epic hikes, fall festivals, apple orchards, or long hours on a patio, fall in Minnesota offers clear blue skies, an endless tapestry of color, and unmatched beauty, perfect for setting the stage for any colorful adventure. Plan your dream trip at exploreminnesota.com. Sponsored by Explore Minnesota, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back to school season is here. And while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul, Native-owned, bringing us the best coffee, keeping us awake.
I am awake, and I love that coffee. Get Steve's Dark Blend. I love that. It makes my hair on my nose grow. So, hey, we're really, really pleased to have Maggie Lorenz on. I haven't talked to Maggie in a long time. And then we have Shelley Buck, too, our good friend here with, she works with, let me just look this up here so I don't get this wrong, president of Friends of the Falls in Minneapolis. So, welcome you two. And we got a few things to talk about. Well, welcome, Maggie.
Hi, good to see you, Robert.
Yeah, and good to see you. So something came across my Facebook page that I'd like you to talk about a little bit, and we can get into a couple things here. I know I'm a little fired up here, and I know you are too. Let's fill our audience in what's going on in the last few days here.
Well, I think there's always a lot of things going on in the community, right? But the thing that we're here to talk about today was some headlines that came out over the weekend about a land sale or a land transfer in Minneapolis to Red Lake Nation for a project to develop an opioid treatment center, which is a great project, and I think it deserves to have news coverage, and absolutely glad that the city of Minneapolis is partnering with Red Lake Nation so that this project can be developed. I think it's a great need in the community. And so any of my comments following are not taking away from that. So I just want to preface with that. But but I think the way that it was framed with the headlines in the media was something that was jarring for me. And I think for Shelley, without speaking for Shelley, but I think that's why she's here too, and others in the community, because the headlines from both Care 11 and Fox 9 were framing this as a land back transfer. Which has two major problems, in my opinion. First is that Red Lake Nation, or the Ojibwe Nation at large, have their traditional homelands on the East Coast and their modern day communities in northern Minnesota. The Twin Cities in Minneapolis, I think, is really undisputed Dakota territory. It's Dakota homeland, Dakota treaty territory. And so I think the headlines just, are another kind of opportunity, or another situation, I think, where as Dakota people, we feel that we're erased in our homelands. That our history here is not accurately represented in the media and school and education. And then, it's unfortunate that people continue to perpetuate these misrepresentations, misunderstandings. And we're in 2023, we've done so much work, I think, as Indian people, and especially as Dakota people, trying to reclaim our narrative and our place in our homelands here in Minnesota Makoche. And so I think the headline was just really inappropriate. And I can talk about the second piece too, a little bit about, I just really don't think that this equates to land back for other reasons, but I want to give Shelley an opportunity to speak as well.
Yeah, Shelley, welcome. And we see these narratives, we see in the news media, really disheartening news. And that's kind of, Maggie remembers years ago when Standing Rock was happening, why we started the show initially, because all the fake news out there and half-truths. So things don't stop. It's 2023.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time. And I echo everything that Maggie has said. We continue to be erased. We continue to be forgotten. We continue to be invisible as Dakota people in our own homeland. And it just continues. And, you tell people, you educate people, and then you turn around and it happens again. I, like Maggie, I'm so thrilled for Red Lake and for the work they're doing in the cities. I think it's amazing. And I wish more tribes could help out with that. But I do think that the news media, with their headlines of land back and returning land, is just really disheartening. And it just makes us all the same. I mean, everybody wants to continue to paint or to use one paintbrush stroke for all tribes, and we're each our own sovereign nation. But in the state of Minnesota here, this is our birthplace. This is the place our creation story has us coming into human form from the waters of Minnesota. We don't have a migration story to this location. We've always been here. My family, even during the exile, did not leave this land. So my family has been here since time immemorial, and to be erased and forgotten in our own homelands is just, it fires me up. And I want to do it in a respectful way, because I do appreciate the project that is going to be going on to this location. But I do think that it's time for the states, for organizations, whether it's nonprofits, Native or non-Native led, it's time for them to start truly working with the federally recognized tribes in the state and doing consultation. And at the very least, the Dakota tribes should have been consulted in this, or at least part of the conversation, so we weren't surprised by a news line this weekend.
Yeah, and I think it's really, really good to bring up this point. And that point is that Lakota, Dakota have been here forever, and we don't have a traveling story. We came from somewhere else, and I think that's a narrative white people like to bring up, is because they feel guilty about taking over our land, and they consider us moving from somewhere too, so they just moved in after we did, and it's really a big false narrative out there, Shelley.
It really is, and a lot of people don't understand this because obviously the education system in this country fails everyone when it comes to the original history of the lands. But there was an 1825 Treaty of Prairie du Chien that created a territory line between the Chippewa and the Dakota, and that line is north of the city. So, you know, per that treaty, the Chippewa or Ojibwe, Anishinaabe, they're at the northern side, whereas the Dakota are in the southern part, and the land in the Twin Cities is in the Dakota Territory. So, you know, to add more fuel to the fire, there's that little piece of history that's not known about.
Well, Shelley, too, we're all sovereign nations, and I don't think people understand that, what that means. That's like the government, local government or national governments dealing with Paris. They don't understand, you know what I mean, or France. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't understand that. Speak upon that just a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. We're each our own little, I guess, for those who are non-native to understand, we're our own countries. We have our own sovereignty, our own laws, our own governments. We are able to have jurisdiction over our own lands, over our own businesses. And you can't just treat us all the same. There may be similarities, like with the four Dakota tribes. I can really only speak to the Dakota tribes since I am a Dakota woman. But the four Dakota tribes here in the state, we have very similar things amongst us, a similar history, similar culture, similar language, but we still have our own individualities amongst us as sovereign nations. And you can't just assume because it's okay with one, it's going to be okay with the other. You can't just assume that just because you're have a real estate transaction with one tribe, you're going to be doing something positive for all tribes, because you're not. And I think that narrative needs to really be understood. And just like the tribes do in the state legislature with the tribal state relations training, we need to do something like that with the media and other people so they understand that tribes are separate sovereign nations and should be treated like that. And there's a history here in the state of the original inhabitants that were not taught to you, or at least not taught properly in the education system.
Or to people in the media, which is, again, you know, like I was saying earlier, in 2016, we started this show because I would see a protest for Dakota Access Pipeline, and there'd be, in my own line eyes, there'd be 2,000 people, and then you'd see the press and the helicopters there, and they're only videotaping half the crowd, and they say hundreds. And so that just irritated me, because it's one thing, they're afraid of us, but they also don't think we're still here, and it's lazy journalism.
It really is. And, you know, as a president of a nonprofit, I have to spend a large portion of my time educating someone before I can even go and get to the actual work at hand. And even when I was a tribal leader, I would go to whether it be a legislator or a business or some other individual, and I'd have to educate first about who we are and then get to the issue at hand.
Well, can you guys hold on for another segment? I think we're just getting into this. Hey, we're with Shelley Buck, and she's president of Friends of the Falls, and our friend Maggie Lorenz, she is here too. One of the things I'd like to talk about a little bit too is when we are asked to do land acknowledgments, we know whose land this is. It's up to our white allies and friends to do their own land acknowledgement. We can talk a little bit more about that. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Be a vaccinative.
It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture and loved ones.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. President Biden will join the auto workers picket line in Detroit tomorrow.
And I think that now that the industry is roaring back, they should participate in the benefit of that.
Former President Trump will also speak with UAW members on Wednesday. Congress faces a September 30th deadline to avoid a government shutdown. Far-right House Republicans wanting deep spending cuts have refused to support a continuing resolution supported by Speaker Kevin McCarthy. According to CBS's Scott McFarlane,
as this week progresses, the Senate comes up with something that they try to pass over to the House and try to induce some action to avert the shutdown and create a bipartisan compromise.
4 days, school weeks are becoming more common across the country, with hundreds of school systems signing on, mostly in the West and rural areas. But CBS's Wendy Gillette reports,
some parents complain it's difficult to manage childcare, and there's also concern students won't get enough teacher time.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Whoever was excited, then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
To Red Lake, like, how can Wisconsin. You give land back to a nation it's not their traditional land? So that right there doesn't make any sense. But then, the other part about it is the framing this as like a land back kind of issue, and when I think about land back, I think of, it's a movement and it's a, like a radical kind of like change, in systems of how, land managing agencies, land owning, transfership happens, things like that. And then ultimately the goal is for Indigenous people to be able to reconnect with their homelands, reconnect with their sacred sites, reconnect with their traditional plants and medicines, and reconnect with the sacred elements in the land. So that's what land back means to me. And so when I hear that this, you know, this project being and this transfer, this sale, essentially, it's a land development project that really isn't any different than the way the city of Minneapolis currently operates with developers. And so, you know, transactions of city lots for a dollar is not unique to this project. And so I feel like, again, back to your point, Robert, about this being kind of like lazy reporting or maybe sensationalizing with this headline that isn't really, you know, to try to make something seem like more than what it is. And what it really is a standard project development partnership between the city of Minneapolis and Red Lake Nation to develop an opioid treatment center. The way that the land was transferred is standard in their office. So this isn't like a major shift or change for the city of Minneapolis and the way it currently does business. And it doesn't, in my opinion, fall under what land back really means is reconnecting Indigenous people to their homelands and their sacred sites and their medicines. This is a development project and it's going to help Indian people, but I just really don't see it as meeting the criteria of what the movement of land back is all about.
Wow, really good point. And even in that report from Channel 9, I heard them say that this lot had been empty for many, many years. I thought it was something like 40 years. And so in this bad analogy, they are getting rid of a land that the city doesn't even want, you know. So again, I was talking a little bit, Shelley, in the end of the last segment, that people stopped asking me to do a land acknowledgement because I just say, give us our land back. That's my land acknowledgement.
That's a very good point. And I do get asked to do some land acknowledgements and I say, no, to do a land acknowledgement really is kind of meaningless. And if you are going to proceed with a land acknowledgement, you need to make sure that you have a plan to do action work after that. It can't just be a simple, here's a land acknowledgement, pat ourselves on the back, we've done a great job, now we can move on with our business. It takes a lot of work to do what needs to be done after that. And I even had one group ask me to read a land acknowledgement, and I said, no. This land acknowledgement isn't for me. I know whose land I'm on. Right. This is a land acknowledgement for all of you to understand whose land you are, at least start to begin to understand whose land you are. And then once you do that, there's a lot of action that needs to come with it. And people don't understand that, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of education. It's a lot of soul searching and really being vulnerable and opening up to the, unfortunately, not so great history we have here in the state, and being willing to acknowledge it, accept it, and do better because of
right.
it.
Right. And, you know me, Shelley, I don't talk about it much on the show, but I represent Ho-Chunk, and I'm wondering how someone like me could move this forward. You know, is this something that we could talk to the legislature of our states about having some sort of education for media? I mean, I think you kind of touched a little bit about that, but how could we, how can we be proactive about this? Because this is not going away. It's not only, it's subtle. If it's a younger reporter, it's probably a lack of knowledge and laziness. And if it's an older reporter, it may be done for a reason.
Yes, definitely. We can definitely do it. I don't think we need to get the state involved. I mean, that would be an extra step, but we could work with possibly the Department of Commerce, who does the tribal state relations training. But there are other people who do this kind of stuff and would be possibly willing to do it outside of their regular job. But it's something we could do on our own and do a true grassroots education on this and bring the media in and truly see who's there to report the real news and who's there to just sensationalize and make things not so right.
Hey, I'm here with Shelly Buck, president of Friends of the Falls, and Maggie Lorenz, director of Wakan Teepee. Maggie, did you have a response to that?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, you know, the organization, and there's been different iterations, so I'm not sure if I'm keeping up on things, but Illuminatives has been doing a lot of work around media, Indigenous representation in media, how media reports on Indigenous issues. And so, you know, I think about, and, you know, this could be something, again, that, like, it could be in consultation or cooperation with the tribes or the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, maybe partnering with Illuminatives to do some kind of work here or project here in the state of Minnesota for our news media outlets. It could be partnership or collaboration with McGizzy Communication, who focuses on their nonprofit on communications and reporting and journalism. So, you know, there are different organizations and entities that I think could play a big role in how we solve this problem. But I think back to your point, definitely some more education is needed, because unfortunately, it just the K-12 system and the higher education systems hardly scratch on the surface of Indigenous history and culture, if at all.
Absolutely. And I think, you know me, Maggie and Shelley, as somebody that, you know, I'm burned bridges with a flamethrower when I was younger. And now I do those protests and those seem to work. But in how do we do this in a business? We reach out to somebody like McGizzy and say, hey, we really would like you to look into this and move this forward. I'm trying to look for a call of action, in a sense, you know, because I think we're, you know, I'm used to going now, all right, well, let me start a Facebook group here and let's go protest Channel 11, Channel 9.
I mean, I think that that's, not to cut you off, Shelley, but I think that, you know, protests and rallies, especially like in the heat of the moment, are kind of things that really do capture people's attention that move towards action. But there's also other ways, like partnerships and collaborations and long-term kind of planning that follow. But I think getting attention on the issue, you know, a protest or a rally might be it, or a letter writing campaign or something like that. I'm not sure, but Shelley, I'll let you speak, because I know I kind of cut you off there.
No, don't worry about it. We're too strong to quote a we on. We have a lot to say, and fine with that. But no, I think, you know, for me personally, my first instinct is to fight, is to, you know, throw the gloves off and go at it. But my 12 years as a tribal leader kind of taught me to take a step back, evaluate, reevaluate, possibly even write it down or start text or doing a post on Facebook, and then don't send it. Just stop and sit in it for a while. And that's what I did over the weekend, because I just stewed over this all week long. As soon as I found out about it, I was on vacation. I just stewed over it the whole time. And I knew if I responded in that moment, it would be disrespectful. And I didn't want to be disrespectful, because at the root of it, like we've said, that project is an amazing project that's going to help a lot of people. And we are all for that. But the way the media has portrayed this land transfer is just not right. And, you know, we need to do the collaborations, the partnerships. I've learned that networking is so very important for the causes that we all have commonalities with. And I think, you know, getting those groups, and I think Illuminatives is great. And I'm glad Maggie brought that up, because they have done that work on a national level. And I think having them work with somebody like a McGizzy, McGizzy could learn a lot from Illuminatives, and they could really help those kids learn some really positive action items for them to take forward into their adult lives. And, you know, doing positive things like that and doing this just in a good way. I try not to get involved in a lot of the protests and rallies, not because I don't want to. I just know that for me, that anger, that rage, that strong person that's inside of me might come out, and I don't want it to ever be taken as disrespectful, because I do try to do things in the most respectful way. Trust me, when I'm upset with you or angry with you or you've done something that I think is wrong, you know it without me having to yell at you or smack you in the face for it. So I think doing it in a better way is probably positive.
Yeah, I've been trying to do that too, especially with my job now. And I've been people's tolerance tester and burning bridges with the flamethrower. And I've had to settle down in my 60 years of living here. Maggie, we got a minute left here. I really appreciate you guys stopping in. And I think we should follow up. I think we should talk about, you know, frame this as media. You know, because there's not only are the media talking points, but they're giving the media, there's something wrong with the media, and we've always known that. And at mm-hmm. least here on this progressive station across the country we're on, we can talk without worried about, you know, big advertisers leaving me. So I just appreciate, let's frame this in a good way. Right.
And just on the last thing I want to say is that somebody made a comment, an Ojibwe woman from up north made a comment on Shelly, made a post about this on Facebook. And this is just, I want to leave on this note. Her name's Irene Fulstrom. She made a great point. She said that the media's current narrative about Red Lake's recent real estate transaction is harmful to all tribes because it paints a picture of justice in action, when in fact very little has been done by the state or local governments in Minnesota to actually restore tribal homelands.
Wow.
I think that was a perfect sentiment and perfect way to wrap this up.
Wow, we're gonna take off. That's a great, we're gonna drop the mic and take off. Thank you, Shelley and Buck. Really good to see you. Maggie Lorenz, always a pleasure. That's stay vigilant, you know, and I really appreciate you two strong women, and I stand behind you.
Thanks, Violet.
All right, we'll see you. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
The Mary T. family of companies serve seniors and people with a wide range of disabilities. We provide home health care, hospice services, and accessible rental housing. This is Mary T., and we'd like you to join us. We're hiring direct care professionals, CNAs, nurses, and other support services. Our mission is to provide quality, personalized services to meet the unique and evolving needs of the people that we serve. Join a Minnesota family-owned company that was founded on a history of care. Apply today at MaryTInc.com/careers.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Good one. Hey, what a show to start the week off here.
That was a great, great show.
Well, we still have a segment here to mess it up. So that's hey, I wanted to ask you, Haley, too, before we talk a little bit about the great show so far, is that you were checking out the Eagles. You wanted to talk a little bit about that at all? That place has been redone and remodeled down there. And talk to our listeners a little bit about your experience.
Yes. So I was very lucky to be hosted by the National Eagle Center down here in Wabasha, Minnesota over the weekend. I headed out there Saturday morning and attended their fall flight event that they had, their migration event for the Eagles, or the Chashups, as we know them, Robert, from Eagle Clan of Ho-Chunk Nation. And it was amazing. Big shout out to Ed Hahn, Director of Communications out there, for meeting with me. It was so great to meet you and check out your birds. I got to see Angel, which was a bald-headed eagle, and she was 25 years old, wow. Which totally shocked me because I'm 25. So can you imagine a bird? Or I mean, it's not even a bird, they call them, they're raptors actually. Yeah. So a raptor being the same age as me is pretty cool.
You know, it's interesting about eagles too, and we've learned this from fun facts from Wendy's over the years, is that, you know, they their heads don't turn white until they're like 6 years old, which I did not know. I thought they automatically were bald.
Right, right. Well, I think that's called, so your adolescent little eagle, I believe those are the spotted eagles, right? They come in as spots and they look like white spots before their head turns white.
I think they're all black. Oh. I think the spotted ones may be the golden eagles. I could be totally wrong. And now I'm speculating, and now the show is going down the tubes, Haley, because of me.
I know. Now we got to do a fact check again real quick. But yeah, well, it was very cool. And a fun fact that I didn't know about Chashups or eagles. So when we talk about their diet, they don't, raptors such as eagles don't consume nuts or I guess any type of nuts in their diet. And what they usually consume on is meat or fish and flesh. So their bite force with their beak isn't as strong as one would think. In comparison, if a human were to make a fist as tight as they can with their hand, that's about double the eagle's beak force is. And interesting.
You know what else is interesting that I learned from Wendy over the years is that, and we know this because there's eagle bone whistles, but the eagles are hollow boned. And that's what makes them. Makes them lighter and fly really high. Yeah. So, hey,
the more learning. You know.
Yeah. Well, fun fact Fridays with Wendy, I pay attention.
On a Monday. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, hey, I was at Powwow for Hope at the same time, and that's a powwow that it's been going on for 12 years, and it was kind of not happening the last few years because of COVID, but it was a great response. Deanna Thundercloud was the MC, which is an amazing thing because I don't know how many MCs there are out there that are women that are, doing the powwows. And so good to see her. I saw State Senator Mary Kunish do a speech. And also I won in the silent auction applique apron and a autographed baseball too.
I didn't know that. Hey, I also met someone really cool out at the National Eagle Center, Inkpa Manny, INKPAMANI, Inkpa Manny Art, and he had some of his art up on the exhibit there at the National Eagle Center.
Yeah.
Native. So if you want to follow him on Instagram, check out some of his work. very beautiful colored pencil sketches as well.
Do you remember, you mentioned too, I said, did you see the statue by the river? And it's amazing when you go down that part of the river, especially when it stays open down there, the eagles are down there by the hundreds and hundreds, which is amazing. But that statue that was by the river had mentioned Ho-Chunk, you said.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull that up. And let's see. So that they have a statue and then a monument out there along the Mississippi River down in Wabasha outside of the National Eagle Center. And the statue is called The Leaf, and this person was born in the 1760s and became the highly skilled diplomatic leader of the Dakota Nation from the late 1790s through 1836. The son of the greatest hero of the Dakota Nation, he was recognized by the Americans as the first chief of his tribe and had such contacts with the Spanish, American, and British officials. And he also worked closely with Ojibwe, Ho-Chunk, and Sac and Fox tribes as well.
Wow. Throw that Ho-Chunk in there. Definitely. Wow. Yeah. So we got a good week happening. Wendy is going to be home, so she'll be on Native Roots Radio. And I just have to end, too, that was it last Friday or was it Thursday? It was Thursday that we met some of the sponsors of AM 950 and some of the people that.
Thursday.
Yeah, that advertise and some of the talent here, and it was great to see, of course, Matt McNeil and also Greg Bakken, whose show is just taking off at 10 o'clock. And it's a well-needed show because it's a lot of fun. It's about ghosts, UFOs, and all those great things. And as people probably know, or maybe they don't know about Native Americans, is we come from earth and sky. And that may mean we might be aliens here in our own land. I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm curious to see if any natives out there have some good folklores or legends or scary stories that they
scary stories would be great. Yeah, because we don't want to talk about the folklores because of those are kind of private. But maybe some scary stories that would be awesome to hear. Maybe when we sit in and host for Greg some night, we can get some scary. Native stories out there.
Or a Halloween edition, Native Roots.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Now.
Did you know Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken airs 5 nights a week at 10 p.m.? That's 5 nights of talking about ghosts, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. We're talking about the paranormal every Monday through Friday with some of the most trusted names in the field. Join us and step into the unknown with Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Only if you dare.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and 5 current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Bug Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse, September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, Stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest, Oktoberfest in La Crosse, Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.